This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Last November's general election saw not just the victory of several statewide ballot measures to legalize marijuana, but also, of course, the Electoral College win of a candidate who could undermine those legalization efforts. California, Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada did their bit to undermine the war on drugs by passing measures legalizing cannabis use in various capacities. Now, those were all states where Donald Trump lost to Hillary Clinton. Now, Trump's attorney general, the ultra-conservative Jeff Sessions, could pose a serious threat to legalization efforts. Sessions has said in the past that, quote, good people don't smoke marijuana. And Press Secretary Sean Spicer said a few weeks ago, quote, I do believe that you will see greater enforcement of federal drug laws. My guest is Justin Streckel. He is a political director for NORML, which is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Welcome to the program, Justin.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonali.
So would it be fair to say that last November's election results were the high point for the many years-long efforts by groups like yours to undermine the war on drugs, to legalize marijuana?
It's the newest high point that we've reached, but we still have a long way to go. 42 more states need to have these kind of reforms, as well as in the states that did legalize marijuana. We need to protect the progress. We've seen assaults to roll back or delay in Maine, in Massachusetts, and in California. So it's one step at a time, just as it has been for the last 80 years since Prohibition went into effect.
What do you mean that there are attempts to roll back the progress? I mean, for example, in California, I thought it was a done deal now. Are there people and organizations challenging the ballot measure?
It's a done deal as far as legalization is going to move ahead, but there's still a lot of questions as regards to the specifics of the legislation. And, you know, there's rumors floating around that we're going to see a delay for an additional year before a recreational market is established.
Right. And to clarify, in California, medical use had been legal for many years. The recreational use part is what passed last year. Sorry, continue.
Oh, no, absolutely. And you know, that's in California where, you know, we're feeling most optimistic about the hurdles that have sprouted up. In Nevada, they're moving full steam ahead. If nothing else, they're actually making the recent legalization ballot initiative more robust. But in Maine, you know, Republican Governor LePage is openly calling to delay and, you know, with no end in sight for the will, delay implementing the will of his voters. And in Massachusetts, we're seeing reforms being done as well, which weaken the legalization effort there. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what the head of the Justice Department feels about the use of marijuana. I mentioned one quote from Jeff Sessions. This was made last April during a hearing when he was still a senator from Alabama. He declared, good people don't smoke marijuana. And he also made this assertion that you probably would disagree with, that there is more violence around marijuana than one would think. All right, so can you respond to both of those statements?
Absolutely. Good people smoke marijuana all of the time. we're looking at a place where, you know, recent polling shows anywhere between 40 and 50% of the population has tried marijuana. So if Jeff Sessions is making the accusation that nearly 50% of the country, upon which he is a public servant of, is quote-unquote bad people, then maybe he should have gone into a different line of work. But regarding to his claims about violence, I mean, absolutely, there's violence associated with marijuana. And it's all in regards to the black market of the distribution and transportation of marijuana, which is why here at NORML, we firmly believe that moving marijuana from the underground black market to a transparent, well-regulated marketplace is the best way to stop that money going to criminal cartels.
Right.
Now, you know, I don't know what, you know, the attorney general was supposing when he made the comment, then one would think, in regards to his comment about violence. But, you know, I imagine many of your listeners have had experience either themselves or with people that they know who consume marijuana. And I'm, you know, pretty confident in my thinking that their interactions were not violent at all, and if anything, very mellow or chill.
Right. In fact, that's the implication of what Sessions said, is that marijuana use makes people act violently. And we've seen, for example, at sporting events in Europe, that when you had a marijuana availability instead of alcohol, that you've had far fewer acts of violence, far fewer fights breaking out, et cetera. So certainly the Attorney General doesn't seem to have seen the latest research. Now, of course, the contradiction on the issue of marijuana has long been that states have attempted to legalize in various capacities, but federal laws remain in place. And we have a whole agency, the Drug Enforcement Agency, that is meant to basically enforce these laws. And that's where, depending upon who's president, you've seen a conflict between the federal government and state governments over marijuana availability and use, et cetera. But it's bizarre. For someone living in California, if their state government says it's legal, but their federal government says it's not legal, where does one fall? I mean, how does one decide how to treat these contradictory laws?
That's a very good question. And there are some people who, just full disclosure, we get calls every single day, hundreds of calls throughout the country from people telling us that they know the magic bullet on how to deal with these kind of disparities between state and federal law. There's a lot of people out there who believe that we need the courts to come up with an interpretation. And but here at Normal, our view is let's get to the root of the problem. Let's address the fact that the federal government is maintaining prohibition of marijuana. There's a couple pieces of legislation out there right now which would address this problem directly. One of which is from Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of California, who has introduced the Respect State Marijuana Laws Act, which would simply exempt the states that have liberalized their policies on marijuana from being able to have enforceable actions by the federal government and prevent all federal government resources from being used to in regards to marijuana. Secondly, there's an additional piece of legislation sponsored by a Republican from Virginia, Tom Garrett, which is the End Federal Marijuana Pro or End Federal Marijuana Prohibition Act of 2017. And it's really interesting to see the political evolution of the Republican Party, not as a whole yet, although we're optimistic that they are moving as a whole down the road. But it's really Republicans stepping up with a states' rights argument on the grounds of the 10th Amendment. That it's the states that have the power to decide these laws. And without, just as we see with alcohol, just as we see with tobacco, which substances are clearly more dangerous than marijuana, clearly more addictive, and much more destructive for individuals' lives. And the death tolls are there, whereas marijuana has never had a reported overdose of marijuana that resulted in a fatality. That the states have the ability to set the laws. Because at the federal level, tobacco and alcohol are merely just not classified under the Controlled Substances Act, and each state has their own can create their own regulatory markets, set their own tax rates, set their own age requirements for purchase, and that's something that we'd like to see happen going forward.
On this issue of states' rights and Republicans, or individual Republicans at least, trying to do the right thing, it's really interesting. I mean, I'm certainly no fan of Dana Rohrabacher, but you would
For a lot of
imagine,
reasons.
yeah, for a lot of other reasons, but you would imagine that Republicans, for whom this idea of states' rights is so important, and they've used it nefariously for other issues, you would expect them to at least be consistent and apply that to marijuana law laws and other issues as well, but unfortunately, more often than not, they are not that consistent. Do we know anything about Trump's own position on marijuana? He famously claims he doesn't drink at all, but we don't know much about whether he himself has ever consumed marijuana or even has an opinion on it. However, he is in the entertainment industry, and he's a business owner with very large hotels and resorts, and casinos that where you see. You might imagine that he might be more favorable to marijuana use.
He has made a wide range of statements when it comes to marijuana over the years. Digging back into the 80s and 90s, we found news clippings of him saying that he's for the legalization of all drugs. And most recently during the campaign, he really hasn't addressed the adult use of marijuana, but he has on a number of occasions stated his full-throated support for medical marijuana programs, claiming that he has friends who have greatly benefited as a result of the use of marijuana to treat their ailments. He didn't get too into the specifics on who these people are, but it was a very Trumpian statement. When it comes to, you know, his personal use of cannabis or experiences, you know, that we don't know. You know, if any of your listeners know of a story, please send it along to us. But, you know, or if they have their own personal stories with Donald Trump, perhaps they'd like to share them as well. I think when it comes down to it, you know, the press secretary, Sean Spicer, largely put the onus of setting the administration's marijuana policy on the shoulders of Jeff Sessions. And this is where the concern is, because we've seen the president, it can be very responsive to public opinion and in a stubborn way, many times, and really dig into his core constituencies, which is why we're trying to activate more people who are within his inner circle to support liberalization of policies. But with Jeff Sessions, I mean, the quote that you said at the top regarding good people don't smoke marijuana, you know, that's just something that he said as recently as April. Yeah. Back in the 80s, he was denied a federal judgeship as a result of being too racist for a Republican Senate committee. When, you know, and during that those committee hearings in the 80s, it was reported that he had said that he liked the Ku Klux Klan until he found out that they smoked marijuana.
Wow. And we know that drug laws have been disproportionately enforced among communities of color.
While we see usage rates of marijuana at about parity amongst racial divides, the national disparity among prosecutions and charges is 4-1. And in urban centers such as St. Louis, we see it as high as 8-1. And, you know, there's been a clear use of law enforcement to systematically repress people of color and using the war on drugs as a means to you know, to do that. And that's one of the reasons why we've partnered, you know, in a lot of states that we've been able to advance policy, we've partnered with groups like the NAACP and the ACLU to address these disparities.
And in fact, we just had one guest on recently who mentioned that the federal government may go after undocumented immigrants for marijuana use and use that as a basis for deportation, which is very troubling indeed. Let's specifically tease apart what Sean Spicer did say. He did say a few weeks ago, "I do believe you'll see greater enforcement of federal drug laws." But he added, "There's a big difference between medical use and recreational use, which is something the Department of Justice will be further looking into." Do you get the sense, Justin, that the Trump administration might try to walk a fine line by supporting medical use of cannabis and opposing recreational use?
Yes. I mean, I could go into much more details about why, but you hit the nail on the head. Okay. Absolutely. When it comes down to it, a poll was just released a week and a half ago by Quinnipiac that showed 93% of Americans support medical use of marijuana, and 59% support the full legalization of marijuana. And in the middle, with a majority of all Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, 71% support preventing the federal government from interfering with the policies that states decide for themselves on marijuana, which is why, you know, if and when greater enforcement, whatever that means, comes, we've already been working with our National Legal Committee to prepare cases and amicus briefs to be able to support states' attorneys general and statewide elected officials in the legal states in their battle against the administration to be able to protect the will of their constituents that implemented legalized marijuana. And another thing, just to add to your point about using marijuana as a way to increase deportations, absolutely. And another aspect that marijuana can be further used to disempower traditionally marginalized communities is the right to vote. In a number of states, marijuana possession is still a felony. And correspondingly, in those states, you lose your right to vote if you're convicted of a felony. So the message that we're sending to American citizens is that if you possess a plant that is you know, less dangerous than alcohol, less dangerous than tobacco, less dangerous than a number of pharmaceutical companies, or I'm sorry, pharmaceutical drugs that are on the marketplace right now, that you are, as Jeff Sessions would say, not a good person, and you're going to lose your right to be able to participate in the very fundamental process of our democracy.
Well, Justin, give out a website where people can find out more about the work that your organization does.
Absolutely. Normal.org, and that's normal with no A, N-O-R-M-L, for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. On there, you can sign up to get our weekly emails or just take actions. We have action alerts that we're tracking legislation in all 50 states. There's been over 1,500 bills introduced nationwide that somehow address marijuana policy. And we clearly list out which ones we're in support of, which ones we're opposed to, and we make it really easy for people to be able to connect with their state elected officials or their federal elected officials to be able to voice their support or opposition on those policies. So I really encourage all your listeners to check us out, normal.org.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Sure. Thank you so much, Justin.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so very much for talking about this important issue, Sonali. I'm happy to do it.
My guest is Justin Streckel. He is a political director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.